Glory to you, O Lord. From the time of Peter's confession on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Friends, let me first remind you that what we are talking about today all takes place after the word therefore. Now, I love that word, therefore. It's powerful. It contains such meaning in just one word. Therefore means that something of importance has taken place just before it. A list, a story, a reason that. For example, growing up, I heard the story from my mother of when she was at Susquehanna University in Selins Grove, Pennsylvania, and she was sitting talking to her friends, and as she describes it, suddenly this leather jacket sat down next to her. Well, in that leather jacket was the man who became my father. So, they both went to Susquehanna University. He sat down at her table. She didn't chase him away. Therefore, I am here today. So you see how that word works? Okay. So everything we talk about today follows a therefore. And what precedes the therefore today is what both Paul and Jesus have just reminded us of. That God so loved the world, God so loved us, that God sent God's only Son that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. God so loved you that God has claimed you through the waters of baptism, made you into a new being, and nothing that follows can change that love God has for you. Because God so loved us into life, therefore, we live differently than we did before. As Jesus reminds Peter, now we live with our mind not on human things, but on divine things. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we live by those rules, not the kingdom of this world. Now, to do this requires some sacred imagination. Imagine a world where there is not vengeance, repaying hurt for hurt, life for life. Imagine a world where politicians do not pit us one against the other, but focus on differences in policy, governmental philosophy, carrying the basic understanding that we are all citizens of the United States, striving for what is the best for our nation. Imagine not being told to fear those that we might see as enemies, but to love them. Imagine not being burdened by hate, but instead being free to bless those who persecute you. Imagine being emotionally free enough to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep. Imagine living in harmony with others, thinking only as highly of ourselves as we ought to think. Now, what does that feel like to you? Does it feel freeing, like a burden is being lifted off of you? Do you think, oh, wait, it doesn't have to be this other way? Both Paul and Jesus lay out this list of divine things that we set our minds on and that we do because we follow behind Jesus. We go where he goes. Now, the human way of thinking is what enslaves us. It's what kills Jesus, and it's what perpetuates the sin in our lives. The human way of thinking is that violence is the path to being safe. Violence is the path to exerting control. The human way of thinking is striving for vengeance for any perceived wrong, of dominating your enemy, of thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. And all this leads to is death and more death. Instead, as followers of Jesus, we set our minds on divine things. We fire up our sacred imagination and love everyone genuinely, without agenda or hypocrisy. And as we know from our own families, this does not mean that we always agree or even that we get along. It's not relationship without conflict, some kind of kumbaya where suddenly everything is okay. But that love acknowledges that what binds us together is stronger than anything that might seem to separate us. And so the conflict that we have is different, because there is love underneath it and there is forgiveness that covers it. Now, the divine way of love is hard, but it brings life with it, life fuller and more abundant than the life that we live now. So why do human things keep slipping into our minds? Because the human way of hatred and fear is easy. It's simple. Something is threatening you, well, it's that person over there, and they will lead to the destruction of all that you hold as right and good in the world. They will destroy that which you hold most dear. Do you want to lose those things? Of course not. Fear them, hate them, fight them. Maybe it's so easy because it appeals to the animal instinct in us. Maybe the ability to love our enemies is the image of God in us. Maybe that is the divine thinking that only we created in God's image can manage, to love our enemies. But that ability has been hampered by sin. I am sorry to say that in a country that has prided itself on saying it is a Christian nation, that this appeal to hatred and fear works for politicians. And it works. It motivates people quickly. But it is not Christian. And it is not the way of Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we cling to what is good, even when it's hard. We strive to outdo one another in honoring others, not slandering each other, telling lies, or spreading gossip. We rejoice in hope, in the promise of a better tomorrow, because God is leading us there. We bless those who persecute and curse us, not returning like for like. We do this because we look with the eyes of God on a fellow human being created in the image of God, and we wonder, what have they suffered? What are they going through that they curse us so? We are patient in suffering, knowing that Christ is with us. The Christ who knows something about suffering, who will go to the cross for love of us. We persevere in prayer, knowing that God hears us. And we do everything within our power to live peaceably with others, keeping an eighth commandment attitude, looking at what they do in the best possible light. We join with all people in laughter, in tears, in shouts of anguish or anger, according to their need. And it is in the losing of our current life, this life focused on human things, it is in losing that, Jesus says, that you will find true life. For when you try and save your life by following the human way, you have already lost it, for that way lies only death. I have to admit that the only thing that has kept me from despair this week is what has happened over the last 3 weeks since the derecho. The stories that I witnessed firsthand, that I have read and seen on social media and through the media. Stories of neighbors rushing to help neighbors, of sharing food, power, water, shelter. Of people when our very existence was truly threatened. This was a threat to the very lives that we live. Of people who, in the midst of that real threat, responded not in fear or selfish disregard of others, but without hesitation, without thought of the political or religious affiliation of their neighbors, came to their aid. Without thought of immigration status or skin color, helped them with the essentials of life, with food and drink and shelter and love. And in that moment, we saw life as it should be. I think maybe we had some clarity and saw how life taking the other way we had been living was. And so we lived in that brief moment as things should be. It was the kingdom of heaven revealed to us, a glimpse of the divine in the midst of an awful experience. And it gave me hope. But as the immediate need begins to wane, perhaps as some of us begin to recover ourselves, I'm beginning to see that human way of thinking rising again. Let us see that kind of thinking for the stumbling block to faith that it is. And may we have the strength of Jesus to cast it aside, even as he did to Peter. It was 57 years ago, in 1963, that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of a dream of hope and inspiration on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It was a speech that did not discount the harsh reality of the time. We are, after all, theologians of the cross. We call a thing what it is. The speech acknowledged that sweltering summer of discontent and protest that it took place in, and it addressed the need to not allow creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. But what it did best was to dwell in the language and thought of the divine. That the freedom of black and white Americans is bound up together. That we cannot walk alone. We need each other. And so using the sacred imagination God gave him, Martin Luther King Jr. shared the dream that he had been given. A dream where all were truly treated as equal. A dream where the descendants of enslaved peoples and slave owners would sit down at a table of fellowship. Enemies become friends. A dream where people will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. A dream powerful enough to hew out of a mountain of despair a stone of hope. A dream come to him through the sacred imagination where the kingdom of heaven is made real on earth. That's the sacred imagination that we need now. In the midst of the tumult of life, in the midst of a pandemic, after a derrico, with the easy words of hate and fear of one another from our politicians still ringing in our ears. We need the imagination to see the world where all God's children can join hands and sing, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." Free. Free from the sin and death that the thinking of the world brings. Free to love each other without hesitation. Free from all that would kill us. And that song of freedom springs from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. From the hard but rewarding work of following behind Him. A song that we sing through our lives and what we do as much as through our mouths. A song of Jesus that we join in harmony with others as we sing. A song where there's always room for one more to join us. And a song where we cover for one another when we occasionally hit a sour note. A song that inspires us when we begin to tire of singing. A song filled with sacred imagination made real in Jesus, the Son of God. My friends in Christ, listen for that song this week. Dream dreams inspired by the sacred imagination God has given to us. And join your voice to the chorus as you make choices to love, not hate. To listen more closely, to look more widely, to live more fully into the image of God that resides in us. And let us do this so that all may have life, and that abundantly. Now I